is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Opioids, fentanyl. I read from the National Post, Canada is in the midst of an opioid crisis that has killed over 35,000 Canadian people since 2016. Since early January, writes Adam Zivo, who's conducted this investigation, highlighted in the National Post, since early January, I've been conducting an investigation into Canada's safer supply programs and the research they rely on. I've interviewed 20 healthcare experts, 14 addiction medicine specialists. The on-the-ground realities they are describing are often disturbing. I welcome Conrad Black, writing at the National Post, distinguished biographer. The fentanyl problem is well known in the United States because of the Mexican border crossing into the U.S., said to be pounds and pounds and pounds of fentanyl. Fentanyl originating in China, shipped to Mexico, where it's cooked again and sent into the lives and families of the United States. We're told over 100,000 people perished last year from fentanyl. Well, the number is comparable or worse in Canada with a much smaller population. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Mr. Zivo has investigated safer supply. The SAFER program is Canada's answer to the opioid crisis. What does it mean? What happens? Good evening to you.
Yep. Good evening to you, John. Well, I have to say Zivo did a lot of work on this. He worked on it for several months and assembled his facts very carefully and very responsibly. And the gist of his findings is that there is a program largely in the western province of British Columbia, Vancouver, and the Rocky Mountains. But some emulation of it in central provinces, the Midwest of Canada, and the program is to try and attract people who are addicted to heavy drugs like fentanyl, attract them away from that by giving them, literally giving them, they don't have to pay for it, drugs that are otherwise illegal, but are much less, less addictive and generate less drastic and dangerous consequences to the person taking them. And the idea is you would draw people down from the brink of disaster on the strongest hard drugs down to an area where they weren't in danger, and then take them the rest of the way by more normal therapies, and it has been a disaster because you can't get a person who's, let us say, addicted to drinking whiskey off whiskey by giving him some beer. I mean, what he does is, in this case, they, having been given a hydromorphone, I believe it's called, they're given it. They then sell it, like pushers on the street, and use the money to buy hard drugs. They don't actually say, oh, this is great. It doesn't cost me anything. I'll give up the hard drugs and settle for these comparatively weaker and less dangerous ones. That was the idea, except that it didn't work. And it's quite clearly proved in this series of exposés this man, Adam Zivo, has done, that the authors and champions of this policy are, as is only human nature, I guess, but a commonplace in government officials, as we all know, despite the evidence of the failure of their policy, they claim the evidence is ambiguous and stick with the policy. And it is actually making things worse. And that was the burden of his series of articles. And they started really exactly the same time that I wrote the piece you're referring to, and because I had an advanced look at it. And obviously, I credited him with his research. But it's a very serious problem. And this one is easy to solve. I mean, you just stop that policy and replace it with another one. It's not as difficult stopping the inflow of these drugs that are doing so much damage everywhere north of the Rio Grande, in your country and here.
Yes, the damage, however, is connected to national security. I note the governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, saying this is a national security threat. 100,000 people or more are dead because of fentanyl coming from China. Now, this complicates matters, I understand, for the government in Ottawa because of the suspicion, allegations, remarks, anecdotes about Chinese interference in your election process. Is this fentanyl crisis a crisis for Ottawa, for the Trudeau government? I don't remember reading about it, but you see the headlines every day.
Yeah, fentanyl isn't as big a problem here as it is in the U.S., but it started. I'm no one to tell you the ins and outs of buying drugs. I've never touched any of it. I'm not saying that to be sanctimonious. I've had other failings in life, but that isn't one of them. So I don't really know that much about it. But I know what I read, and I know the reliability of the sources that I read from. And as I understand it, fentanyl has made its appearance in this country, but because almost all of it enters from Mexico, though I agree it was apparently originally from China, and is apparently part of the general Chinese offensive to displace the United States as the world's leading power. It's an aspect of that policy. So we're kind of we're collateral damage. You know, I mean, the Chinese aren't aiming at us particularly, other than in their defined Canada relationship. They have been caught, as you mentioned in a previous program, red-handed, not to make a terrible pun, but meddling in our elections. And I think that is going to stop. But because fentanyl comes into the United States in quantities, some of it gets through to Canada. And we don't have a drug importation problem at the U.S. border any more than you have from us at the same border. What gets in from Mexico eventually gets all the way through your country. I mean, Governor Youngkin it's technically Virginia is a southern state, but it's really a border state. I mean, it's right at Washington, D.C., and it's the neighboring state is Pennsylvania, so, you know, which gets right to the Great Lakes. So, you know, clearly the problem is very serious there. So it's got a long way north. And as I understand it, fentanyl is throughout the United States. The farther north you get, the thinner it is. But it's there. And having got there, it's easy for it to come into Canada, and it has. But I don't see that the health authorities or the drug sections of law enforcement in this country have focused on it that closely. I mean, they're aware of the danger and occasionally make purposeful noises. But I think the only thing that gets their attention is when the crime rate jumps and the death rate jumps.
This safer supply, then, in our final 30 seconds, Adam Zivo's investigation, has it reached the point that Polevra, leading the Conservative Party, is mentioning it on the national scene? We have 30 seconds.
Yes, he is. He is. And, you know, every day we are getting closer to an election. To hear the rhetoric in this country, you'd think the election was coming, you know, in 2 months or something.
Right.
It isn't. It'll be another 2 years probably. But it's heating up all the time. And it situates itself in this country into the discussion of the healthcare system. It's underfunded. We don't have enough doctors. So people go to the emergency rooms for any ailment at all. They're terribly overcrowded and the whole system is breaking down. And the government is pretending it isn't happening. But so it's part of that debate, but an ever more important part.
Conrad Black for the National Post. I'm John Mackey.